Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Warning, the following content may contain elements that are not suitable for some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, kitties. This is y'all's ghoulie, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio. My name is Mikey Bones, and I am joined with Rob Humphrey.
Hello.
What's going on, man? Where's Kat?
I don't know. I'm taking another day off. She got a hell of a vacation plan around here.
You're counting the PTO.
Yep.
Oh, the HR lady is getting looked at for too much PTO. That's not a good look. Holy shit. Kat wasn't feeling well. We hope Kat is doing better. But she will not be here this week.
I thought you were going to say she will not be missed.
No, why would I say
that? I don't know why you say the things you say.
You're the one that talks shit about Kat when she's not here. And then you blame it on me. Like, this isn't public for her to hear. But we do have a very special guest, a friend of the show, a previous guest. We had him on, I think it was last year. Yeah. William Dalphin. What's going on, Will?
Hey, how's it going?
No, man, it's been a minute since you've been on, right?
Yeah, I can't even remember what time it was.
I think it was like October of last year.
Yeah, let me see. Yep, you're right. October.
Time goes so fast. I also forgot to mention in your intro, you are an owner of a Rob's Face t-shirt.
And mug.
And the mug. He got the set.
I did.
He got the set. So anyone who listens to us who does not, but like they think we're bullshitting, like Rob said, oh, get my shirt, my face on it. This man owns a shirt with his face on it.
In fact, when I got it last year, didn't like I promote it so heavily that it became the number one selling item for a while?
Yeah, the Rob's Face line for a while was the number one selling line of products on our shop. Yeah.
I hate this conversation.
You're welcome, Rob.
Oh man. Yeah, so no Kat this week. Will, you last time you were on, you brought up two movies. Well, we talked about a lot of these.
Oh, yeah.
But you brought up two of them that were on the top of your list. In the Mouth of Madness and the movie we're doing this week, Prince of Darkness.
Yep. Two of John Carpenter's Apocalypse trilogy, the third being The Thing.
Hmm. We're going to get into it. I have a lot to say.
Nice.
We have not. None of the three of us have discussed what we think about this movie yet.
Well, I just heard Rob sigh in disgust. So, no, that about sums that up.
The idea of him having a lot to say.
Motherfucker, man! You believe that? Like, I'm just trying to work here. Well, that's all I'm trying to do. I'm not bothering nobody. Yeah, we had a Shaft Rob game, which unfortunately got canceled when Kat wasn't able to make it. So we're not going to be able to Shaft Rob this week, which is unfortunate.
We'll say postponed, not canceled.
Yes. Yeah. So, but now he knows it's coming, which is kind of damn.
But he doesn't know when it's coming.
How do you feel about that, Rob?
Surprise guest, Will Dalphin.
To Shaft Rob. So
Will does the run in. Yeah, I mean, it's all right. It's all right. Listen, I'm nothing if not a team player, right?
Yeah.
you're just kind of throwing shots at your teammate a couple minutes ago. That's fine.
You know, somebody's got to do that.
And this gives you time to freshen up on your creepy pasta.
I'm the one who created the spreadsheet format that we all have.
Mm. I don't know what a spreadsheet has to even do with this, but no, you ruin our spreadsheets and we have to fix them.
That's pretty that's much the system. It. That's the yeah. format I came up with.
All right. So actually, can we get into it? I was going to say we should get into the news really quick so we can get to this movie, because I really am interested to talk about this. Look forward to it. But drink roll call real quick.
All right.
Sure.
Rob, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Sailor Jerry and Diet.
Hmm. Back nothing to my in a can.
Huh? No, nothing in a can. Nothing in a can. Went back to the old standby.
Okay. I'm drinking that Crush Orange vodka thing from Cutwater. Mm-hmm. Remember I was telling you about that? Yeah, so it's pretty much vodka and orange in a can. Mm-hmm. I took it out of the can and put it in a glass with some wine punch.
There you go.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, that's all right, I guess.
Hawaiian punch.
Did you not like it without the Hawaiian punch?
No, that's the problem. It was so flat. That's why I have cans of it left still.
Mm.
So I'm trying to get rid of that, and I'm hoping the Hawaiian punch is helping.
All right.
All right. Will, you drinking anything fun?
No, unfortunately. I've been drinking tea all day. Iced tea, which is my favorite. But you caught me at a bad time, and I'm having just a Coke Zero.
Damn.
Trying to stay awake.
I feel it. Rob, you're usually the one not drinking.
It's not true. Always. Sometimes I drink, sometimes I don't. I'm not an alcoholic like you.
You literally came up with drink roll call.
I don't get the shakes if I don't have a drink, Mikey.
I'm a teetotaler, which means I totally just drink tea.
I do too, to be honest with you. Usually I drink. I have a cup of iced tea here as well. So, yeah.
That's my favorite. Like anywhere I go, I get an iced tea.
Now, what brand of iced tea? Like I like Arizona.
Oh, Arizona's the best. Like the Arizona green tea.
Oh, absolutely. Green tea. Oh, Will.
Dude. I mean, I'll drink anything Arizona, but Arizona green tea is my favorite.
I go with the lemon.
Generally, what I do is I just make my own tea and then I let it steep for overnight. This grosses people out, but I let it steep overnight and then just add some sweetener to it. And that's my tea.
By steep, what is that? I'm not familiar.
You put the tea bag in the pot, you brew the water, get it hot, pour it onto the tea bag, and then you just leave it sitting there overnight.
Damn. I just put water in the container and put the scoops in. I'm kind of jealous. Like now I feel like I've been making shit tea my whole life now.
Oh, no. I've described this tea to other people and they've been like, what the fuck are you doing?
All right. So it's not just me, but I am interested now. Now I got to try this at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
It's time to hump the news with Rob Humphrey.
He's not a genius.
All right, so let's get through the news really, really quick. So we can get to this. I'm so disappointed we didn't get to Shaft Rob this week. I'm going through bloody disgusting. Return of the Living Dead, guys. 4K release from Screen Factory of Return of the Living Dead. Is this something that you would be interested in picking up, Rob?
I saw it and I almost pulled the trigger on it, but I was able to, contain myself.
We just did Return of the Living Dead. I would love to see this in 4K.
Yeah, I was really close to buying it, but I gotta save my money.
Yeah, I don't even have a 4K TV, but Return of the Living Dead is one of the best.
Me either. I don't have one either. And I have DVD. Like, I just bought two fucking 4K collections, and damn it. I gotta get a new TV. That's what it means. I need a new TV.
Someday.
Yeah. I've never been big on the clearest picture and all that. I don't know. I never really.
I have a friend who has like a really nice TV. It might be 4K, it might be 8K, I'm not sure.
Jeez.
But the picture is so clear that it makes movies look like soap operas and is jarring to watch.
Yeah, you have to. There's an effect you can turn off to keep that from happening. Because I had when I got my TV, it was set like that, and I was mad as hell. I was like, I can't watch shit like this. I finally had to dick around with the settings forever, but I figured out how to change it.
He invited me over when he first got it. We watched the Matrix Resurrections, and it was so bad. I couldn't stop. I was laughing. I mean, the movie itself is bad, but with the picture looking like a soap opera, it just felt so weird to watch.
That's funny as shit. Yeah, I have a friend of mine who had like one of those curved whatever the hells. And there's one I don't think they had. That was like 8K is crazy. But you know, the good thing about that is now the 4Ks are getting, you know, a little more affordable. Mm-hmm. Whenever 8K or the new TVs come out of date so fast. Anyway, moving along. Rob Zombie's The Munsters will bring spooky fun to Netflix on September 27th.
All right, so just over a month from now.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You guys excited?
No.
Why not?
It looks so bad. The trailer for that looks horrendous. People, like, the trailer itself looked like something that an amateur filmmaker made.
Yeah, it looked dumb. The only reason I'm excited is that once it's out, I don't have to hear about it anymore.
Word, yes.
Unless he comes out with another one.
Oh, Jesus.
Holy shit.
Don't threaten us with that.
Rob Zombie's The Munsters 2?
Look, I live where he was born, so I you know, I have some sort of feeling that I should, you know, be supportive of Rob Zombie, but Jesus God, please let him stop.
Holy shit, you're worse than Rob on this. Wow. Usually at least Kat's like kind of nice to him, to Rob Zombie, so damn, I'm outnumbered here. I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna see. I've said this before, that everybody really hated that fucking trailer. I don't know. We'll see.
I feel like it was a joke. Like they were somebody was playing a prank on us. Like, this can't be what they're giving us. This looks awful.
Yeah. It seriously.
What?
His internet. It does this.
Oh, okay.
Just wait for it. Watch this time he drops out.
Am I back?
Yes.
Hey, yeah.
All right.
Stupid internet.
I said it looked like a porn parody of The Munsters. That's yes. What it looked like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, you know, don't you ever wish things could just be the way they were? Like, he cut out perfectly before that came out of his mouth, and I wish he could have just stood that way. God,
I'm
damn.
Glad you...
That's what he gets. That was funny, and I have to leave it in the
waited
show.
For me to come back just to say it.
Son of a
oh,
bitch.
Jesus, God.
Yeah, I think I'm back. I don't know. Goddamn internet.
Why do you pay them?
I don't know. I pay them like $80 a month. You'd think it'd work.
Where was I? Original My Bloody Valentine. It's getting a novelization after 40 years.
A novelization?
Yeah.
Wow.
You would think it would have been done already. Like, if it was going to be.
You'd think, but I will read it.
Who's writing it?
You're asking some random questions person? Of stuff? Maybe. I'll find it. But I love My Bloody Valentine, like, a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic.
I love it so much. Even the remake was good. Armando Munzos.
Never heard of him.
Oh. But he did it. Like I said, My Bloody Valentine, like, it seems like it's an older movie. You know, it just feels like book. And it never happened till now. So, Rob, you're really going to get this?
Yeah, I'll probably read it. Why not?
All right.
Yeah, it would be interesting. If it's well written. Yeah.
Now, see, we always hear shit about, oh, you know, it's not as good as the book, and this was left out, and that was in the book, and this was in the... Like, can they get away with adding shit in this?
No, I mean, right? A lot of novelizations have stuff added to them.
Yeah.
But it's normally done the other way, though. Like, normally when there's a novelization, they write the novel while they're making the movie, and so they're going off the original screenplay, so then stuff gets cut out of the movie.
Right.
But it's still in the novel. So I don't know. I don't know what to do with this.
Like, when I was little, I had the novelization of The Goonies, and it had, like, the octopus scene in it.
See, I believe it or not, The Goonies, not a huge fan.
Okay. Fair.
Usually I get yelled at for that by people. I didn't know.
Yeah. Opinions are, you know, like assholes. Everybody's got one.
Well, don't make fun of Rob right in front of him. Wait till his name comes out again. All right, so if you do get this, Rob, let me know. I would be this might be something I might pick up too, maybe.
Yeah, I might pick that up. I mean, I imagine usually they're fairly inexpensive too. So
$35.
$35? No,
what? $35. Fuck that. I'll just get the movie again.
No, I know. Fuck that. Not $35.
Holy shit.
I just got the Halloween Ends. I pre-ordered Halloween Ends novelization. It was $7.99.
Really?
Yeah.
Why the hell is this one so much? It's a pre-order too.
Maybe a genie comes out when you rub it.
I'll get that damn thing. Wow, that's crazy. Okay. I didn't know. See, I don't know what these things go for. Like, I feel like Kat would spend $35 on this book.
It'd have to be at least hardcover if it's going to be $35.
It doesn't look it. I don't know. I can't tell.
With some of those middle page illustrations that come from the movie, you know?
Yeah.
Even that wouldn't be worth $35, though. Jesus.
No. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, when did that movie come out? 80...
81.
That long ago.
Yeah, 81. Damn. And it's just getting a book now. All right.
Yeah.
All this time, we could have wrote that book, Rob.
I know, right?
It's like sitting there for everybody. Yeah. Never.
Now we're going to have to start going back and looking at all these old slashers and seeing which ones have books.
I guarantee most of them probably don't.
We spent charged $35 for the damn thing, apparently. All right, moving on from that. Never Hike Alone 2. Everybody's talking about it. I guess images came out. It spotlights Jason and Thom Matthews, also going to appear in this one.
Never Hike Alone 2?
I watched Never Hike Alone, and it was decent. I liked it. I didn't watch the other one they did. Was it Never Hike in the Snow or whatever?
Yeah.
I didn't watch that one.
Sorry.
So, I mean, I don't know. I'll probably check it out.
You familiar, Will?
I'm not. I thought I was. Wasn't there a German slasher movie called Never Hike Alone or something like that? Or Don't Go in the Woods? I guess it was Don't Go in the Woods with the malformed cannibal guy.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. This is the fan film for Friday the 13th.
No, I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, I don't know. The first one was good. I did watch the Never Hike in the Snow thing. You know, Jason's too small.
Yeah.
And if that, the dude who's making it, I know was Jason, Vincent DeSanti. He was Jason in the first one. I believe he was Jason in the second one. Dude, just stay behind the camera and find someone else who's big to be Jason. Yeah. But that's cool to see Thom Matthews in it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. See how that goes. This second one, I'm not sure how horror it is, but Godzilla vs. King Kong 2 is being filmed.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes, that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Didn't they already make peace at the end of the first one?
That's what I said.
Yeah, but you know, there's more box office to be made, so they're gonna start fighting again, and I'm gonna go watch it.
It depends on who the bad guy is, I think. Like, I totally did not see Mechagodzilla coming until maybe halfway through the first one. And then I was like, oh shit, they're going to do Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
And that was exciting. But I don't know who they're going to do for this one.
I don't either, but I'm going to go watch it because I watched that first one in IMAX and it was awesome.
I just watched it again recently.
I'm still thinking it might. I've always wanted to see an update of the Smog Monster. Ooh. Have you ever seen Godzilla versus the Smog Monster?
I haven't seen any of the Godzilla movies other than the one that, like, the Matthew Broderick one. I saw that.
Oh, good heavens.
See, my thing is, I don't like Godzilla movies, but I love King Kong movies. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I liked Kong Skull Island.
Yeah. And that was, what the hell? I don't remember what the other one was. The other one was awesome, too. I don't know. Godzilla movies just seem like a bunch of people. Like trying to figure out shit in like suits and shit, and then every now and then Godzilla pops up, tears some shit down. I don't know. Never a big fan of Godzilla movies, but that Godzilla vs. Kong felt more like a Kong movie. So,
I can see that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's true. I didn't even, because even in the original one, it was like nobody cared or even thought about another monster. They just wanted to see King Kong and Godzilla.
Yeah.
All right. Two more things to talk about here. First one is Terrifier 2. Trailer's out.
Oh, Jesus.
What? What's wrong?
You go ahead and finish.
I'm done. That one,
oh, you're done?
What do you got to say now? You gonna be mean to Terrifier?
It feels like torture porn to me. I'm not a fan of that genre. It was violent and shocking just to be shocking. You know,
and it was poorly lit.
It felt like they were really trying to push Art the Clown as like a new, like Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees kind of guy.
Right.
And he just doesn't feel that way to me. He's just like, there's nothing to him. There's no understanding of what he is, where he's from, you know, what drives him. There's none of that. And he just shocks people with like sawing women in half vertically. And it's gross.
Will, you have a standing invitation to come on this show anytime you'd like.
God, thank you.
The term we use around here, by the way, is long ways for the song of that girl.
Yeah, he cut her in half long ways.
Yeah.
Man, I like Terrifier. Have you seen All Hallows Eve, Will?
I believe so. I think I have.
All right. Yeah, it doesn't give a clear, you know, this is what art is. So, I mean, I get you there, but I don't know, man. You know, I'll give you this, though. That is the best argument I've heard, because Rob here is a dick to Art the Clown all the time. all the time.
Greg,
who listens to our show, even worse than Rob, and it's just completely unfair. But and all they do is cry about because he used a gun, God forbid, and Rob
Happy
said...
the shooting clown.
Rob said it wasn't lit and all this crap. But at least you gave Will the best coherent... If there was anything that this was lacking, it was any type of real, true story. And I never really noticed that.
There was nothing to it. It was just this weird clown torturing and murdering people. You know?
That's okay, though, isn't it?
No, not really. I mean, if you think about like the problem I have with like the later Saw movies is... I was just talking about this earlier tonight with my brother. Like, the first one... You don't know who Jigsaw is, and the whole movie is kind of a thriller of trying to figure out who he is while these two guys try to get out of this trap, and that's a plot. And then everything after, now you know who Jigsaw is, and he's just murdering people and torturing them, and there's nothing to it. You know, that's not fun. That's not an enjoyable movie. And with Art the Clown, it's kind of the same. He's just torturing and killing people. You learn nothing by the end of it.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
Nobody has progressed as a person. There's no character journey. He just kills a bunch of people and then it ends.
Yeah, and I like well-written scripts like Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Son of a bitch.
You're not helping, Rob.
No, he's not. Yeah, that's the thing with Robin, like, especially Greg. But, you know, there's so many mindless... Friday the 13th. I mean, there was story there with the mother and everything, but it quickly just evolved to Jason. So, and that I guess that's why I don't mind it. I don't know.
Yeah, but...
I'm easily entertained, I guess, is the best way to put it.
I mean, you got a point there with Jason. I mean...
But he was already established, so I never thought of it that way, where Art had no stuff. That is very, very, for him to be like on that second tier where everyone's trying to put him, like you mentioned, you gotta have some type of beef there when it comes to story and plot. And I never thought that is the only true critique that I've heard that's valid, other than Rob and Greg crying about a gun.
The gun was stupid.
It was kind of a stupid kill.
God damn it.
I mean, that doesn't make the whole movie bad. Just
thank you.
But the whole movie was bad. Not because of that.
So we were almost there. Not
because of that. Let me put it this way. Bone Tomahawk has a similar kill to the most shocking one of Terrifier, right? Right. And it's better because there's a story in Bone Tomahawk. And that moment becomes shocking, but at the same time, it drives the other characters forward. Whereas in Terrifier, he's just like giggling and sawing a woman in half for no point while her friend watches, and then he murders the friend.
I'm gonna have to agree to that. All Art the Clown, Terrifier things on this show always end with agree to disagree.
Son I just hate the name Art the Clown. Really. It's dumb. It's not going to go down in the annals of horror with like Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, Leatherface, you know, Michael Myers, Art the Clown. No.
He's got a horn.
Pinhead.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know. So, you know, I want to know if you would agree with Rob's stance on this. It sounds like you would. I had backed this movie, Terrifier 2, and like one of the perks as you go is like in the credits for whatever you go in there as. Rob wanted to change it from Slasher Radio to Slasher Radio except Rob. That'd be fucked up on a credit, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it wouldn't make much sense. Nobody, everybody would be like, who's Rob?
Right, and he's on the credits anyway, but he wanted it that way.
And then they would buy my shirts with my face on them. They would go to find out who I am. They would see they could get a shirt, and then we'd be rolling in the money.
Why don't you just pay for a separate credit, Rob, that says Rob did not donate to
them? That'd be amazing. He'd pay to let them know he doesn't support the movie. That's funny shit.
Did you watch the trailer, Mikey?
I love the trailer. What'd you guys think of it?
I thought it looked dumb.
Really,
I mean, it can't possibly be worse than the first.
It did look like somebody bought some lights this time around. You could see stuff. So,
well, that's, yeah, with a bit more money, maybe they wrote a plot.
Yeah,
maybe the girl with the baby in the from that one, the last one's back. So,
oh boy,
oh yeah.
I'm not saying the character was important, but I'm saying maybe there's
That riveting character, the girl with the baby.
Didn't he skin her, or am I thinking of someone else?
I thought he did.
Yeah, he skinned that woman who thought she had a baby. And
yeah. But I'm not tooting the horn of the character or nothing, but maybe there's a continuation of something there. Maybe. Then we'll find out.
I don't know. I think it's going to fall down into the cracks of horror history, kind of like that those German art house violent films that I'm blanking on the names of. There was just like shock horror shit that people talk about, but you know, nobody wants to watch.
Yeah. But we'll see. I don't think it will, but we'll see. They do have to go, like you guys kind of mentioned, that shock and awe thing. Mm-hmm. That's only gonna last for so long. You know, so it worked for that first one. It got him a lot of attention, but you had to bring something a little heavier for a sequel.
Yeah, you always have to up the ante. And how are you going to do that when you literally sawed a woman in half?
Saw her sideways this time.
That's less.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, man. I saw them do that in the movie with the animatronic puppets. Oh, shit. Based on that old movie. 70s.
I know the movie you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah, the something something movie.
Yeah, yeah, that one.
You know that one with the they sawed someone in half in that, and they did it in a season of American Horror Story, the Freak Show.
Oh God,
sawed someone in half.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think he had a flamethrower at some point.
Art the Clown?
I think so, in that trailer. I see in the fire. Trailer. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't remember. I watched it once, and I was like, I'm done.
All right. You know what? We will shelf this argument until it comes out.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. When it comes out, if it's free, I'll watch it, and then I'll talk about it with you.
You can go on the parent. What I'm going to do is go on Screenbox for, like, the free trial, and I'm going to watch it for free like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Unless they're smart. I tried that shit with HBO with Godzilla vs. Kong. You can't get the high titles with the free thing. I was mad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they fucked me. I couldn't get it. I had to buy a subscription. Bastards. All right, last thing I want to talk about. Sean Cunningham, I don't know if you guys seen on Twitter, he updated his Cameo profile. And he had a little shtick about him, and it was, you know, produced and directed Friday the 13th. The movie spawned 12 installments with a 13th scheduled for next year.
Ooh.
Mm.
This, coupled with the comments from the other guy that we talked about last week, I mean, it sounds like maybe something's happening, but I don't know. It's weird that we're taking news stories from somebody's Cameo profile.
They won't talk to nobody.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I, to be honest, if they're just starting this or about to be starting this now, I find it hard to believe they'll get it done by next year.
I don't know, man. They push those things out pretty quick.
Is it going to be a direct sequel to the remake, or is it going to be like an actual sequel to this?
Yeah, who knows what they're going to do.
At this point, just do it. Do a Friday the 13th. Nobody cares. We
Friday
just
the
want
14th.
It. That's funny.
Yeah, just as long as it's Jason in the woods killing people, I'm cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is more news than the last one.
Well, yeah, this is Sean Cunningham. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
But neither one of them could talk to anybody legally about it. So it's just like, now we're going off fucking cameo profiles and stuff. This is pathetic. Just make a movie. Crying out loud. All right, that's it for the news, guys. So we're going to take a really quick break, and we will be right back with Prince of Darkness.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
William,
mm-hmm.
My friend Will, you, like I said earlier, you had two movies that you were up in the air to discuss.
Yes.
Mouth of Madness, Prince of Darkness. What made you come down with this one?
Probably because I had watched In the Mouth of Madness just recently with my kids, and I just really wanted an excuse to watch Prince of Darkness again.
That's fair. Okay, so both same tier to you.
And a thumbs up from Rob.
Oh my God. I don't know how to get him to stop him from doing it. Rob, you're a John Carpenter guy.
Yes.
Did you put the party thing up?
Yeah, now I'm just playing with Zoom. Yeah, I really like this movie, and I was glad that that Will picked this one, because I've been trying to get this one on the show for a long time and he would never do it.
Oh, nice.
I'd never do it.
Yeah, I mentioned this thing. I've mentioned this movie 3 or 4 times, and every time you don't want to do it.
Blasphemy.
Well,
what is wrong with you, Mikey?
The reason for that is I don't like this movie very much.
What?
I know. Here we go.
I'll listen to your reasons.
Okay. I am not going to sit here and say that this is a bad movie. Because I put out a thing on Twitter recently, and John Carpenter was, somebody was trending. And I took that moment to say, since John Carpenter is trending, Wes Craven's better than John Carpenter. And
wrong.
All right. Well, be that as it may, I got a lot of interaction with it, a lot of people throwing their opinions around on it. I'm actually going to retweet it now to start that fire again. But my reason, it's like with The Thing. I'm not a huge fan of The Thing, but I'm not going to sit there and say The Thing is bad, because I know it's not bad. It's just not for me. So now this movie, well, as I was going through it, I said, this is like a John Carpenter showcase. Like, he's showing all these things that he's really, really good at doing, but it's just not for me.
Okay.
Was I nice enough?
Why do you hate John Carpenter?
I hate John Carpenter. What's wrong with you?
I mean, that sounds to me like you just hate John Carpenter.
I can't compare Carpenter and Craven. Like, I find them both of them equally good, honestly.
Yeah.
Because you got Carpenter has fallen off hard after In the Mouth of Madness. Like, I can't think of a single thing after In the Mouth of Madness that he did that was enjoyable. You know, Ghosts of Mars was fucking terrible. Fucking terrible.
All right. I take exception to that. I just rewatched Ghosts of Mars not long ago and really enjoyed it.
No, it's if you really want to enjoy Ghosts of Mars, go watch Assault on Precinct 13, because that's what it is. But it's in space and it's bad. Assault on Precinct 13 is good. And that's what it is. You know, it's like he's constantly trying to recreate Assault on Precinct 13. It's terrible.
But you didn't like Village of the Damned either?
Okay, that's fair. I liked Village of the Damned.
Yeah, come on. But, Escape from L.A. came after. No.
Escape from L.A. is awful.
Oh, all right. No. Vampires we won't talk about, or yeah. Lord, we won't mention those.
Vampires is not, I mean, I don't like it, but it's entertaining.
It's just John Carpenter's Western. That's all it is.
Sure. Yeah. But at the same time, like Wes Craven, I mean, he did Scream, which was great. He did, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, which was great. I like Shocker.
Shocker's amazing.
The People Under the Stairs. I love The People Under the Stairs. But my absolute favorite of his is The Serpent in the Rainbow.
That's your favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even like that movie.
Okay.
I don't think it's bad. Damn, I've never heard anybody say Wes Craven's best. You know, it's a weird pick for Craven. That's fair, though.
So, like, each of them have great films, and each of them have not so great films. It's just John Carpenter kind of went downhill real fast in the 90s, whereas Craven sort of did like a roller coaster up and down sort of thing.
Yeah, recreated a lot of his thing. But yeah, John Carpenter's stuff is just more. I don't know, man. It like whenever he puts out a movie, you know, on his best days, it's like a museum. You see nothing but beauty, and you know, the cinematography's perfect, and he always makes sure the actors are on point, and he just puts a movie together great. The shots are great. Like even something small, like I think it was the scene where there was a scene where two dudes were whooping each other's ass towards the end, and
in
it was
the hallway.
Right, there you go. And it was just that shot down the hallway, and I just sat there and looked for a second. I'm like, you don't usually see that angle, you know, like little shit like that. I feel like John Carpenter's good at to kind of give you a different perspective on a scene, and I love it. But there was a lot going on in this damn movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate movies where it's shot really well and everybody acts really well and things are done really good. You're right, Mike. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
When did I say I hated it? I didn't say I hated it. I appreciate it for all that, but I don't know. I think it's the sci-fi thing that throws me off a little bit.
What Carpenter does seem to struggle a bit to get the best out of his actors, I think, but he more than makes up for that in just pure atmosphere. Like the aesthetic of his films is just horrifying and you know, dark and gloomy and in a way that others don't get.
That's fair.
And this movie's full of that. Like everything about Prince of Darkness is just dark. Once they get into the church and the shit starts to hit the fan, like you the whole church just feels claustrophobic and like it's closing in on them.
Yeah and you know, it's shit like that I think that John Carpenter's really good at, is exactly what you say. It's kind of like you're sitting there and you're thinking, is it just me that's no like getting this feel from it? But no, like, because I felt that watching it too, and as I was just sitting there going, damn, like you can feel certain aspects of this movie. And yeah, that's John Carpenter, though.
Yeah. But at the same time, the acting is not as good as in a Wes Craven film.
Jack, no.
For the most part.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change how much I enjoy them. Just like even in The Mouth of Madness, which is my favorite horror movie of all time, some of the lines come off as really cheesy and goofy. You know, but it's, I still love it just because of the atmosphere of it.
Victor Wong, by the way, he was in one of the greatest movies of all time called Three Ninjas. I don't know if you guys are familiar.
I thought you were going to say Big Trouble in Little China.
No, Three Ninjas. Rob, you ever hear Three Ninjas?
I dropped out. What?
Oh, God damn it. Victor Wong,
uh-huh.
Professor Howard. He was in one of the greatest movies of all time, Three Ninjas. Are you familiar?
Never heard of it, no.
God damn, it's three little kids that are ninjas, like two dudes break into the house and they got to do ninja shit to get them out. No?
Damn.
No. All right.
No, never heard of it.
But yeah, Rob, so do at least like...
That's what you know Victor Wong from, by the way.
Yeah. When I see...
He was in Big Trouble in Little China.
Thank you.
That's what Will said. I would rather watch Three Ninjas, man. Three Ninjas Strike Back, too. The second one, really good.
You are...
What's wrong with Three Ninjas?
Big Trouble in Little China is fucking amazing, man.
They had a little boy that was a ninja and they named him Tum Tum. Come on now. Like, you're really going to say...
I hate it.
Right. You haven't even watched it.
It's a kid's film.
I watched it as a kid. I love that. Damn, man.
I don't even know how to talk to you.
Just saying. Three Ninjas is really good.
Not as good as Big Trouble in Little China, though.
I don't know about that.
No, it's not. It's not.
All right. No, there's no way.
Does it have a little boy named Tum Tum?
Probably. I don't know.
Got Kurt Russell in it.
Does have Kurt Russell
as a trucker.
Pretty badass, I'm not gonna lie.
And Dennis Dunn.
Yeah, he's in that one too.
Just saying, Three Ninjas exists and it's really good.
This is a fun crossroads of like Halloween and Big Trouble in Little China.
The hell?
Oh, yeah. Prince of Darkness, you mean?
Yeah. With Dennis Dunn and Victor Wong and Donald Pleasance all in it.
Donald Pleasance. He loved Donald Pleasance.
Yeah.
I was thinking that through. Like, how cool is it to have your boy be John Carpenter? Like, you just get thrown into these. Like, what's the dude that fucking Adam Sandler always puts in movies?
David Spade?
No, the goofy one.
Rob Schneider?
Yeah, I think that's it. And it's like, you know, Adam Sandler's a big deal, but like John Carpenter, like his boy was John Carpenter and just kept putting him in shit. Donald Pleasance. But Donald Pleasance, just that voice, man. I love it so much. I'm glad he got a role where he's more of a mainstay in the movie like this.
Yeah, I kind of felt like he was just playing Father Loomis a little bit. But, you know, I'm never going to complain about Loomis being in a movie.
No, yeah.
It did feel like just Father Loomis to me.
I mean, at that point, it was like he's just Donald Pleasance to me. He's just,
you know,
the same guy and everything.
Yeah. He was great, though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know, Mikey. Like, in my opinion, this is John Carpenter's most underrated movie. It's one that people don't talk about enough.
I agree.
I agree with that.
You know, it's so great. And it has Alice Cooper in it. So we did Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. Now we're talking about Alice Cooper movie. We should just do horror movies that star rock stars, Mikey.
Well, you just did. That's all of them.
Oh, there's more. We do Strangeland.
We did Strangeland already. Too late. No, we're not doing all that.
We do that Trick or Treat that has Ozzy and Gene Simmons in it.
I've had enough of Gene Simmons. I don't want to relive. Stupid. Can we stop talking about the Kiss movie? I'm tired of even hearing about the damn thing.
All right. Tell us something about Prince of Darkness.
Okay. Practical effects, fucking incredible.
Oh, yeah. Like the stuff going up onto the ceiling.
Everything.
The yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
Everything. The girl's face. Like, I'll tell you what. Honestly, this movie to me was like all the best part of this movie was in the last 15, 20 minutes.
Really?
I love the last, like when she's reaching in to the mirror through the portal, all of that shit going down, like everything is going to hell at once.
Mm-hmm.
But my absolute favorite moment is when they're looking out the window at their friend who they don't realize is dead. And he's like calling to them in that garbled voice, you know, hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
And then they look out the window and he's like, I have a message for you. And you're not going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for death. And then he just falls apart. Like his head falls off and his arms fall off and his legs fall off and just collapses.
Yeah.
That's my favorite scene.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like, even the beginning stuff, just sort of the world building. And as we're getting into the mythology behind the story, I mean, this is probably one of Carpenter's deeper stories.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as far as the quantum physics and the everything involved, I find the whole thing fascinating.
It feels almost like it was built for a sequel that was never made.
Yeah. I think Atlas Cooper has said that he always thought there should be a sequel.
I'm not saying there should be a sequel, but it felt like it was building for one.
Yeah.
With the radio broadcasts from the future, mm-hmm. getting into their dreams and all that stuff about manipulating the time stream and such.
Those radio things, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And again, small shit, man. Like, small shit goes a long way with me in movies like this, especially, you know, older movies. That we're unable to transmit, and, you know, all that shit that they were doing, man. God, that was perfect. It was perfect. We see other movies try and do shit like that. It's never been done as perfect as in this movie. And it was eerie. Like, it gave you a feeling where you're listening to it and seeing it, like, what the fuck is this? Like, it was perfect. And it had little pockets like that kind of, I don't know, kind of pulled it a little bit towards reality. To where you're mm-hmm. looking at like a news thing of this going on that felt like, you know, maybe this news broadcast was on your TV for a second. And that, I guess that kind of goes back to Carpenter again, man. Like, those little attention to detail, things like that to give you that eerie feeling.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with movies like this, I think also maybe it's my part of the sci-fi thing. You just know it's not real. And, you know, like, when you're looking at a Myers, since we're talking about Carpenter, there could be a sick fuck in a mask with a knife that's outside your house wanting to stab you and see what your guts look like. Very possible if it happened. A lot more plausible than this. So when you are able to take shit like that and kind of ground it into some type of reality, you're doing a lot right then.
Yeah. Well, the dream stuff was Carpenter's jumping off point for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He got the idea for the movie because Deborah Hill told him about a dream she'd had of a dark figure coming out of a church. Oh, and that it scared her, gave her, it just creeped her out. And so he was trying to think of a way to, creep the audience out and give them the same feeling that she had from the dream. And the way that they filmed that was they actually shot it on video. And then they played the videotape on a television and they filmed the television screen.
That's genius.
Yeah,
that's the best. I find that some of the best horror writing is the kind of stuff where you're writing something that scared you, you know.
Yeah,
not necessarily something that you experienced, but something that maybe you just imagined, and it terrified you so badly that you had to get it out and get it on paper.
Stephen King is pretty good at that. You know, you see a lot of things that he wrote and he's like, oh well, you know, it came from this and I got this feeling from that. You know, yeah, that's true. If you could tie it to reality, anything that you can kind of especially when you could go out there with this type of demonic whatever shit and then bring it back, people find that shit real in the first place, you know. Mm-hmm. That all mm-hmm. that stuff is, you know, obviously it's exaggerated, but is it?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and that's a bold stand by you, Mikey, to say that Stephen King's a good horror writer.
Oh, God forbid.
I mean, I can't believe you would go out on a limb like that.
Really? You don't like King usually?
No, he's. I should have mentioned the dude who wrote that, My Bloody Valentine.
But you don't know his name.
I forgot it already. Yeah. Poor bastard. He's fucking charging $35 for a book.
Fucking yeah, God. That's crazy.
I feel bad saying it because, like I said, I can appreciate a lot for this with this movie, man. A lot of stuff. I just sat there and was like, wow, that is done really, really well. But I would just get a lot, like, I noticed. I feel bad calling this a 15, 20 minute movie, but to me, it kind of was.
But without all the other stuff, you don't get to the end, Mikey.
That's true.
I mean, if you just watch the last 10, 15 minutes, nothing you see is going to make sense.
It did suffer, in my opinion, from a few too many characters.
Yes.
There were a lot of important characters, but then there were a lot of characters so many that you're kind of like, well, wait, what's happening to who? You know, mm-hmm. who's affected, who's not affected, who's in what room? And it just got it felt like, you can kind of, a good filmmaker can juggle all of that, right? and make it work, but it just felt like it was too much.
Yeah.
Too much going on in too many different places.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I also, it helped that the characters didn't seem to know who one another were either, though.
Yeah.
Because like somebody would say, hey, have you seen Deborah? And they'd be like, who? And then they go, the radiologist with the glasses. And oh, yeah. Okay. And then helped me know who they were talking about.
They should do that more in movies. That's true. Because that's kind of how I was like, who the hell? That's true, man. That is a very good point. And I guess when there's not a ton of, I'm going to be careful how I word it. Because, you know, throughout the good, especially the beginning, but also towards the middle time-ish of this movie, there wasn't too much going on as far as excitement. You know, you had little flashes here and there, but when you have a story that's, in my opinion, maybe the story is the bad word. Just a movie in general, I guess, that's somewhat flat as far as entertainment, and then you have all these people you have to keep up with. And it's like, I'm trying to remember this, I'm trying to remember that. It's like, I'm not even liking this, so what's the point? And I get lost a little bit going through it, but I don't know, man. I think the practical effects were my favorite. If I had to pick one thing that was like, okay, what was the best part of this movie, is the effects blew me away.
The effects are great. Yeah, I also love the soundtrack. This is probably one of Carpenter's best soundtracks.
It's another amazing score from John Carpenter. It's terrific. I will say this got to be the oldest group of college kids I've ever seen.
Yeah.
None 40. Of them are under the age of 40. Yeah. And I was also really bothered by that wannabe Tom Atkins guy.
Oh my God. Yes.
I feel like that guy, I do feel like that role, like he probably wanted to cast Tom Atkins and they couldn't work it out for some reason. So he got this other guy because.
Oh, imagine if they had gotten Tom Atkins, he would have eaten every scene.
Yeah. Would have been incredible. It wouldn't have taken him two cups of coffee to get that lady in bed either.
God damn it. As soon as I laid eyes on him, I said, this fucking guy looks like Tom Atkins. Immediate. I knew this conversation was coming.
Walmart Tom Atkins.
Yeah, he is the knockoff Tom Atkins, whoever he is.
What else has he been in? What was his name?
I don't know. I didn't recognize him from anything.
Yeah.
I recognize him from looking like Tom Atkins. That's about it.
His name is Jameson Parker. And I guess he was on a soap opera, One Life to Live. Oh, and he was one of the Simons from Simon and Simon.
Oh, wow.
Holy shit. He hasn't acted since 2004 either. Is he dead? No, I don't think
dead. No, I didn't say he's dead. He was on Simon and Simon. That was a big show.
Yeah.
Be one of the Simons. So stupid. He did that after this, too. So this might have. Oh, no, he was doing this before, 81 through 89. Okay, so he was doing this already.
Maybe he thought this was like his break into Hollywood, into movies.
Yeah, oh, maybe.
Get into a John Carpenter horror movie, and you'll make it big like Jamie Lee Curtis.
Right.
He was in an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger.
I used to watch that show all the time.
Why? Right, let's not go down this rabbit hole.
That's fair. Yeah, I did notice that, though. I was like, fucking, the guy looks like Tom Atkins. Another thing that I wanted to bring up. Walter, the character Walter, is the closest representation of Rob I've ever seen in a horror movie.
Which one's Walter?
The Asian dude that was stuck in that room.
Oh, yeah, Dennis Dunn. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Dennis Dunn. Perfect representation of you.
That's incredibly flattering.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I'll take that. Dennis Dunn's the man.
There's not enough Dennis Dunn in movies, honestly. Yeah.
But why is he like me? Because he's such a fly-ass dresser?
No, that's not why.
Because he's like screaming and clawing through the wall of the closet to get out from the women?
That could be a Rob thing. But I mean, you wore a fucking Harry Potter shirt. What do you mean a fly dress? Yeah. He said he had a line where he said he usually likes getting dominated on women. That's kind of a Rob thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling terrible jokes to try and ease a moment. That's a Rob thing. And then as soon as shit got real, he just started yelling and screaming to be saved. And I don't know. I just.
That's definitely me. Yeah, that is definitely me.
I said, yep. Man, this guy is Rob.
Do you find yourself in that kind of situation a lot, Rob?
No, I don't. But if I did, that would definitely be me. I would definitely be the one hiding in the closet and screaming for somebody to come save me. Yeah.
Do you also like to be dominated by women usually?
I mean, I don't know about that. You know, we talked about this. I do like a woman with crazy eyes. I want one that I'm not sure whether she's going to hug me or stab me at any given moment.
So everybody looks for in a woman.
And you know, that whole thing, the whole part with him being, you know, getting in the closet and then like them digging through the wall to save him from the people, it really felt like they kind of were just like, all right, where are we going to go with this now that he's in the room? Go in the, like they were working it out as they were filming. Okay, Dennis, get in the closet. Oh no, now he's trapped in the closet. What do we do? Guys, start digging through the wall to get him out, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like he had actually written down on paper, all right, he goes in the closet and then they dig through the wall to get him out. It was just sort of like impromptu, like, shit, what do we do? Very ad hoc filmmaking.
Seemed like way too much work for one guy. I'm not gonna lie. Like, if that was me, I'm not digging through that wall for anybody. Is that fucked up of me? Like, that's way too much work for one dude who had a, like, what are you doing in the closet, man?
Yeah, just go outside and go next door.
Right, like, dude, your better chance is taking your chances and just going. That's the way I look at it. Digging through a fucking wall. I don't know.
You wouldn't dig through a wall to save me, Mikey?
No.
Damn.
No. I wouldn't dig through the closet door to save you. Just tell you to get your ass out of there. I really don't have a tremendous amount of notes, man. I mentioned earlier how this just seemed like a John Carpenter showcase. It's like, man, you guys mentioned the score. That was another thing that I forgot to bring up, but I did know, like, it's just, you could check mark everything. And it's just, like, the score to this was perfect. Like, Halloween gets a lot of, you know, like that's the theme that everybody cares. This thing, man, had some real, he builds moments great. Like, he knows how to build a moment and the score is a huge part of that. And he nailed it in this one over and over again.
I love this more than the Halloween score.
Fair.
I could the Halloween score, you can listen to the first song and know it's Halloween, but then everything after, it's kind of derivative. But this one is just full on, like, nothing else that he's done.
Fair.
And atmospheric.
Rob, do you have this final?
I don't think so.
Wonder if Waxworks ever did this one.
No, I'm pretty sure they didn't do it.
I don't know what they're waiting for.
Well, they don't do all his stuff. Trying to look it up.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now. Prince of Darkness, original motion picture soundtrack. You can get one for $18. I don't know how nice it is, but...
Hey, Rob, you should reach out and see if you can write the novelization of this.
Yeah, right?
That'd be awesome.
No, I don't have this one.
I want to get it.
I got a lot of his stuff, but I don't have this one.
Yeah, I don't know. They got one on Amazon for like $18.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah, I knew I was gonna catch shit for it. I knew it, and I can't help it, man. Just John Carpenter stuff. As much as I could sit and appreciate so many things that he's done. That whole supernatural shit. It's just, he loves doing it. And it's just not for me time and time again.
I guess it's too good for you.
I don't think you caught that much shit. It sounded like you enjoyed the movie. Am I wrong?
I appreciated the movie. I did not enjoy the movie.
Oh, okay.
I was actually like, I even checked the time in this one once and was like, God, fucking please end.
Oh, it is a slow burn. I agree on that.
It is a slow burn. But I will say this. I said that with about... had about 30-35 minutes in it. I was looking at it and I said, God fucking please end. And then it picked up a little, like I said, that last 20 minutes I was there for it. Like, it was that was like flawless in every sense. But just before that, man, holy shit, he made you sit through a lot to get to that.
I can appreciate that. I understand what you're saying.
See, well, Rob, Will's nice to me about when we disagree on things. You got to be a dick about it all the time. Unbelievable.
I can appreciate it too, Mikey. I can appreciate that you're dumb and wrong.
I mean, if you think about it, a lot of movies, you know, take their time introducing the characters and such. Carpenter's They Live takes a real long time to introduce what's happening, and it just sort of has you walking around with Roddy Piper, you know, before things start going down. But that's a great movie, you know.
Yeah, don't you dare say anything bad about They Live, Mikey.
I'm not gonna say anything bad about Mikey.
Don't make us fuck you up.
Yeah, I didn't feel like we could jump to you about the Carpenter crew.
Roddy Piper's amazing in that movie.
Yeah.
He should have been a bigger movie star. Between that and Hell Comes to Frogtown. Are you kidding me?
God damn.
He was the John Cena of his time.
Nope. Hell Come to Frogtown versus Fast and Furious and shit. That's hilarious. I don't know, guys. This one just is, it had it written all over it that I'm not going to like it. And there's a bunch of scenes, like the dude who's getting eaten by bugs in the suit with like that black background kind of.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's my favorite scene.
Right. Dude, I mean, you're not going to get much better than that. And that's what I mean. It was like a showcase because it was, you know, it stood out. And that was the only thing in the scene. They bounced back and forth. But for the most part, it was really just a focused and zoomed in on that. And you kind of got your moment with it. And it's just like John Carpenter saying, hey, man, this is what I can do. Here, go ahead. Try and beat this. And you look at a scene like that in, you know, taking out everything else, and you're like, damn, that's flawless. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, you don't see scenes like that anywhere. I don't know, man. John Carpenter really will. He'll show you he's in a class of his own so often. And yeah. I'm going to cut this class. That's my thing.
I was going to say, do you like any John Carpenter movies? Damn.
I love Halloween.
You don't like The Thing, which makes no sense.
Okay, now I need to know what you think of In the Mouth of Madness.
I've seen that like once. And I think I liked it. But again, like that whole... Hold on, let me look up his IMDb and kind of scroll down it.
What else has he got? Escape from New York.
Great.
Big Trouble in Little China.
That was good.
Awesome. Good. What?
The Fog, I didn't like.
They Live.
Not a huge fan of The Fog.
Well, you didn't like The Fog. The Fog is amazing.
Fog's all right. Again,
Fog's fun.
But it's not the most. The Fog is very close to this movie.
I can see that.
Right.
Very dark. Lots of small spaces and people just sort of experiencing one-off events.
Yeah.
Yeah. But The Fog has the real Tom Atkins.
Yeah, that's true.
Fog came out first, right? Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
But you know what else had the real Tom Atkins was Night of the Creeps.
Awesome. Mike, you hated that one.
Yeah, we've been down this road.
I think, yeah, we talked about that. We talked about that when you weren't here.
I never thought I'd miss Cat this much. Damn it.
You can't go wrong with Tom Atkins.
Right?
He does have a thing for Tom Atkins, doesn't John Carpenter? Damn, the Halloween 3.
He didn't do Halloween 3.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He was a smart man for that.
Well, I mean, I appreciate Halloween 3 because of what it was representing. Like, they were, you know, the idea that originally Halloween was going to be a new story each movie, right?
Yeah.
But people just liked the whole Mike Myers thing so much that they made the second half, and then they tried with Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, which was a failure, unfortunately. And then they were like, all right, let's go back to the return of Michael Myers.
Yeah, Halloween 3. Yeah, that's a hell of a fucking movie.
It's the redheaded stepchild of the Halloween movies.
Deservedly so. But no, he should have made Trick or Treat before Trick or Treat did.
Mm, yeah.
You know? Yeah. But
Even Halloween 3 has its moments, though. The kid his head just being dissolved by bugs is an incredible moment.
It's an all right moment. It's good. I'm not giving it anything else.
Yeah, I'm not gonna defend the movie.
He won't give it anything else because he knows I unabashedly love it.
I don't know how. Like, and it's not. I thought it was just you. It's not just you. Like, you mentioned that thing on Twitter, people will come running to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Halloween 3.
It's a fun bad movie.
It should be ashamed of itself.
Okay,
that's the way I look at it. Like, how dare you come into Michael Myers' house and I don't know.
Michael Myers is in the movie. We've been over this.
He's not in the movie. He's on the television screen.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
They're watching the first movie in, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob has this whole story about how it ties in to Michael
Myers. It does
Myers.
Tie in. That's how when Michael comes back in Halloween 4, he's one of Connell Cochran's robots.
You're stupid.
That's why he can't be killed.
This is what I deal with, Will.
There was a reason that they rebooted Halloween movies.
Yeah. See, this is the type of shit like he's trying to validate. Like, he can't just say, I like the movie and be a gentleman about it. He's got to bring up stupid shit like that. And it hurts my head.
It's a good movie.
We're not getting into that. We'll continue to talk about a movie that is actually good. It's Darkness. I don't know. What else do you guys? Because I'm you're not winning me over.
No?
No.
Do we have to win you over? I mean, do we have to change your mind on this?
No.
Of the trilogy, the Apocalypse trilogy, where would you put it?
Oh, it's above The Thing.
Above The Thing? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I put it above The Thing.
Because a lot of people in the world will list The Thing as like their absolute favorite movie of all, a horror movie of all time.
I know.
Even above The Exorcist.
Those people are ballsy. Like I said, I could sit down and watch The Thing and I'll be bored, but I can sit there. Like, if I want to show somebody, hey, look at a movie that's really, really well done. And, you know, aspects of horror that you're not going to see in a lot of places. And it's just done really, really well. I can put on The Thing and do that and show people.
And practical effects.
A like, 1,000,000%.
Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. And that carried on through this. And I think that there was better opportunity here for Carpenter to kind of go nuts and everybody with the effects. Because, you know, The Thing had, it had a fucking weird little head creature. It was awesome. Mm. But this had more spots where you could see it and be able to perform with these effects. And I think maybe that's why I like it more, is because I was able to see more of it. And that was the part of the movie I liked the most, were the effects.
Okay. And then where would you put In the Mouth of Madness?
That might have to go third.
Wow.
I don't. As far as me enjoying it, mm-hmm. I might enjoy that better than The Thing. But I don't think I can put it. I'm already putting The Thing second, which people would like can't even imagine. So it's like, am I going to put it third?
Yeah, you want people to keep coming back to the podcast. You're not going to get that if you put The Thing at the bottom.
You would not believe the movies we just did recently. If they're still coming back, if they're still coming back, we ain't never losing them. But yeah, I might.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't.
Prince
I would have
Darkness
to
number
it.
One.
Yes.
The Thing number two, and then In the Mouth of Madness.
But I will reevaluate once I rewatch The Mouth of Madness, because I've seen that once a long time ago. So I do need a rewatch on it. But right now, The Thing is barely hanging in there for a second.
Okay.
How do you feel about that, Rob?
Yeah, Rob, what's your three?
You're ridiculous. well, it's tough. Well, The Thing is number one. I mean, that's just
really?
It's The Thing.
Yeah, over this, why?
Yeah, it's because it's The Thing, Mikey. It's an amazing movie.
Okay, but why do you put it above this? Because I really like this a lot more than The Thing, Prince of Darkness.
I mean, the performances in The Thing, it's the whole story is just the you can't trust anybody. It's, I don't know, the tension is ratcheted up in The Thing. I think the effects are amazing.
It's coherent, honestly. The plot. Sorry to interrupt.
I'm torn between In the Mouth of Madness and Prince of Darkness because I do really like both movies. And I think both of them are underrated Carpenter films. I would probably put Prince of Darkness second and then In the Mouth of Madness third. But it has been a long time since I've seen In the Mouth of Madness. So maybe if I rewatched it, I might flip the two.
Sounds like we need to do that soon.
But they're very close, in my opinion.
All right. So for me, mm-hmm. on an enjoyability level, because I two different scales,
right.
how much I enjoy, how much I can keep rewatching, In the Mouth of Madness is number one. I can keep watching that wow. over and over and over again. I love that movie. Then Prince of Darkness. Then The Thing.
Damn.
But horror aesthetically, The Thing is absolutely number one. Like no question, you know.
Okay.
It's tight, like not just written tightly, but like you feel trapped in this space with these men, right? And the tension from that, and not knowing who's going to kill you, who is able to kill you just by touching you, is seriously intense. And like everyone's agreed, the practical effects have not been matched since. And even Prince of Darkness. Prince of Darkness has some great practical effects, but The Thing has amazing practical effects. Like anyone who has seen The Thing will be like, the practical effect in that were insane. And it's just, it's the horror movie of those three. And then Prince of Darkness. And then In the Mouth of Madness. In the Mouth of Madness, while I enjoy it the most, it's the least horrifying.
Damn. You guys both said fuck me, huh?
I say that often.
No, that's just my opinion.
That's, you know, and like I said, The Thing, if you're going to put quality, probably, yeah, The Thing, you know, it probably has Prince of Darkness beat, but they like I said, I just like that there was more opportunities for it in this movie, and you got to see more of it, and they knocked it out of the park, man. Like they truly did. Like that girl, her face all like she was more Freddy Krueger than Freddy Krueger. Honestly, when you like that, like that those makeup effects, like for her, she looked creepy as shit.
Yeah.
As to where you look at, like I just rewatched Dream Warriors the other day. You know, Freddy looked cool and all, but he didn't. Like looking at him didn't scare me, didn't creep me out. I might have normalized Freddy Krueger, but I don't remember ever getting that feeling that I got looking at this girl and going, oh my God. You know, like she just looked terrifying.
She was pretty scary looking.
Yeah. And her, to her, I'm trying to remember her name, but to her credit, the way she portrayed it, you know, where she was like looking at herself in that little makeup mirror. It was so awesome, man. This is a good movie. God, I would not sit and rewatch this if I didn't have to. And if I did, I would go from like the last half hour on.
Half hour is the best part, definitely.
Easily. And it didn't stop. It was going. And I don't know. I just didn't give a shit about a lot of these characters. So maybe that time getting. It'll piss you off more knowing it's like, God, I don't even like you. Like, I don't want to be here learning about you.
I guess question is, would the last 30 minutes have been as impactful without the first hour?
That's fair. I agree with you. I'm still bored through the shit. So you're right. You're right and wrong at the same time in my eyes. So I don't know. I feel like Rob is just disgusted with me.
I mean, a little bit. I don't know how you could not like this movie.
So you guys.
I don't know how you could not like The Thing. I mean, it's got Wilford Brimley in it, for God's sake. I don't know. I'm just all around exhausted by you.
I'm more of a Wes Craven guy. I think that's what it boils down to. You know, like I can appreciate John Carpenter. I love John Carpenter, but. I don't know, man. Just that style of movie is a little too slow for my taste. And, you know, Wes Craven has a little bit more going on. And, you know, it's just a different style of movie. Now, I will fully admit, if you're going to put, like, go by textbook, on how to make a movie, John Carpenter blows Wes Craven out of the water. It's unfair in that aspect.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Wes Craven can't make a score for a movie.
Yeah. And Carpenter writes a lot of his movies.
That's fair.
Wes Craven wrote A Nightmare on Elm Street, right? And yes. The Hills Have Eyes?
Yes.
Did he write Last House on the Left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But other than those three, like, what else did he write?
I'm pulling it up now so we can get official. Yeah, fair point. I don't think
Scream was written by Kevin Williamson.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who wrote.
He wrote Shocker.
He wrote Shocker?
Yep.
Okay.
Shocker. Well, then he
wins. Then he wins. Yeah.
God damn it.
Shocker's fantastic.
He wrote The Swamp Thing too, by the way. I don't know if anybody cares. Just putting that there.
No.
He did write People Under the Stairs.
Oh, okay. That's like an urban fairy tale to me, I think. The People Under the Stairs.
Yeah.
You know, Wes Craven used to teach where I went to college.
You had told, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mentioned that.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I love Wes Craven, man. To me, I've always looked at him as like, that's the one. That's the king right there. That's always been how I looked at him.
He certainly didn't decay in his later years like Carpenter has.
But to defend Carpenter a little, did he really truly? I know his work did that we've seen, but was it that, or did he just really stop giving a fuck? Because he just seems like he hasn't cared in a very long time.
I don't know. I mean, looking at him from what I've seen of him recently, it seemed like he didn't care about lots of things like hygiene. Yeah. You know.
He just don't give a fuck, man. Like that line with the Rob Zombie thing, when somebody asked him about it in some interview and he was just pretty much let my check clear. It's like, damn, that's what it is, huh? Okay.
But yeah, he said that about a lot of the Halloween sequels.
See?
He's just doing music now, right? That's fun. Yeah. That's his thing. That's good. Yeah. That's good.
That might be where his passion's been.
I wish Rob Zombie would go back to just making music.
God damn.
I don't.
We wanted the man to do nothing. Yeah. Go to obscurity and never be heard from again.
Carpenter's just making music and he's loving it. He's having fun with it. He's working with his son and his godson and having a good time.
Yeah, and he's good at that synth stuff. I love it.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's doing music for all sorts of things too, not just his, you know, not just Halloween and stuff. He did the score for the new Firestarter, which was probably the best thing about that movie.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm glad to know I shouldn't watch that.
It's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible.
I almost checked it out.
And I think he did the music for that Foo Fighters movie, Studio 666, too.
Oh, Jesus.
And he made a cameo in that.
I did not hear good things about that one.
I actually really loved it, but you know.
Yeah, you seem to like musicians in weird horror movies.
Yeah, like it's just a dumb fun time. Like you can't expect anything more than that. So I had a good time with it.
Okay.
Maybe he should do more of that.
Didn't he? He did an episode of that horror anthology series. Shit, I'm blanking on the name of it. There were like hour-long or two-hour-long episodes of everything. Cigarette Burns, I think, was the name of the episode.
Was it the Masters of Horror?
Masters of Horror. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I saw that.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I don't know if I saw his episode.
It was disturbing. It was like very disturbing.
Maybe he should do more of that. Just kind of like do scores for movies and maybe that's more what he's into. I don't know. I just always seem like my feel was that he just hasn't given a fuck in such a long time. And Wes Craven never lost that, you know, that love for film. And you know, he did it again with Scream. And he had spots of the Scream TV series that he was even involved with. And, you know, those episodes were way better. Then, like, you could tell where Wes Craven had his hand in certain spots. And, you know, like, it's just two different, completely different types of guys in so many different ways. And, you know, it's hard to compare, but the conversation's fun. You know, yeah. You get to talk about the movies. And,
who else could we even put in a list with those two?
Holy shit.
Joe Dante?
Maybe.
Maybe. He maybe. Does it very comical, kind of.
Yeah. I like Dante, though.
Why am I blanking on the name of Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Toby Hooper.
Toby Hooper. Toby Hooper, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe Romero.
Yeah, I was going to say Romero.
Does Raimi get in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
He's done like 4 horror movies.
Didn't he do like Spider-Man?
But that wasn't a horror movie.
He did it, though.
Maybe he thought it was going to be a horror movie. It's like a man who got bit by a spider. No.
I've always said that. I feel like Raimi started in horror and has been trying to get away from it most of his career, but keeps getting pulled back.
Right. Yeah, because he did the legendary Hercules Legendary Journeys series and Xena, Warrior Princess.
And he did. He has a movie I absolutely love. It's not a horror movie, called A Simple Plan.
Oh, that is a fantastic
movie. Yeah. It's a really good movie. And he did that Kevin Costner baseball movie for Love of the Game. I mean, he's done a bunch of off the wall weird stuff.
Yeah, but also Wes Craven did From the Heart or something.
Music from the Heart. Yeah. And so, Vampire in Brooklyn, which I guess is kind of horror, but
that was horror.
Maybe more comedy.
To be fair, John Carpenter did Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
Yeah, Carpenter got away from horror a little bit. I mean, you know, Starman is not really a horror movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
Elvis, he did that Elvis television movie with Kurt Russell.
That's right.
But yeah, even Big Trouble in Little China, I mean, that's not really a horror movie.
It has elements of horror.
Yeah, it's got some elements, but it's not really a horror movie.
No, it's not. It's still a fantastic film, though.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, I might watch that later.
I did retweet that that Carpenter Craven thing, and just to get it people talking about it again, I just got a tweet. Director Patrick is their handle. They said it would be there it is. I would say Wes has the element of the franchise on lockdown. He has a wider influence on pop culture. However, Carpenter's directing is incredible, really, truly a thing to behold. Had The Thing been a success at the box office, he'd be another Spielberg or Lucas.
Think of that. That last statement's interesting. I don't agree with it. But The Thing definitely did. It deserved better at the box office than it got.
Yeah. Well, he was asked somebody asked him if The Thing had been a success at the box office, would your career have gone different? And he said, yeah, I would have been successful.
Holy shit. If he's not successful, what the fuck am I? You know, man,
he's kind of on like the level of he's above Roger Corman, but not up there with like the Spielbergs and, you know,
yeah,
we know him because we love horror.
Right.
But people who don't love horror would not know who he is. My wife would not know who he is.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fair. Yeah. I don't know. But that's my point, though, dude. Like, shit like The Thing, people don't always, you know, that's just not their cup of tea sometimes, shit like that. You know, and I'm just happen to be one of those people. Don't make me a bad person, Rob.
Don't make you a good one.
All right. Did you guys have anything else to bring up? Like, I don't have them out of notes.
If you haven't seen Prince of Darkness, go see it.
Yeah, if anyone listening to this right now has not seen Prince of Darkness, absolutely go. Seriously, it's one of those movies that needs to be seen.
Yeah,
I say that seriously. Rob, do you have anything else about Prince of Darkness?
Nope. Check it out. It's an underseen, underrated Carpenter film.
For real.
You have anything else mean to say about me again? Or?
We don't have the time.
All right. So we got a Portnoy this thing. Damn. Rob, you want to go first? Because I'm...
Yeah. Yeah, I really like this movie. I think it's some of Carpenter's best work that is not... Well, I've said it already. It's underseen and it's underrated. I give it an 8.1.
Jeez. Okay. That's okay. Prince of Darkness. I don't want to. I've been regretting some of my Portnoy's lately, so I'm trying to be careful. Prince of Darkness, 1987. I'm going to give, out of 10, a 4.
A 4?
Holy shit.
A 4?
Damn.
I want to add a 0.2. I'll add a 0.2, a 4.2. Because just to show that I mean it, you know, it's a solid 4.
Jesus.
It's a strong 4.
He spoke so positively about it.
But this is like if...
And it didn't even break 5.
It didn't. It didn't, man. And I was gonna give it a 5 point something, but I just... got to give me more than 20 minutes of enjoyment.
Okay. Well, I'll accept your 4.2, but... The last half hour, what would you give it out of 10?
Oh, okay. You know what? The last half hour plus the dude in the suit with his head in your favorite scene.
Yeah.
Man, I could give that an 8.1 or something around Rob's number. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
But if I got to sit through almost an hour of other shit like that, 4.2.
Okay.
Damn it. Will, what do you think? Out of 10, Portnoy to some bitch.
All right. Prince of Darkness, 1987. John Carpenter. I give it a 7.5.
Okay. Less than Rob. Wow.
It has some of his best atmosphere. But the story is fairly incoherent. Like, you can watch this movie and come away and be like, I have no fucking idea what just happened. Right.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree with part of that. And part of that was one of the things I find most interesting about this movie is that it's this intersection of religion and science.
Yeah.
And Carpenter said about this movie his love of science led to the story involving quantum mechanics and where science and religion meet. And then he became fascinated with quantum uncertainty after he read several books on it. And then in the end, he said it was just impossible to explain. It was all mumbo jumbo anyway, and it's just a horror movie. So,
yeah.
Yeah. At some point, he threw in the towel on trying to explain these concepts.
And you get the sense of that watching it. Like at halfway through the film, all the stuff about, you know, because there are these university students coming in. They're bullshit, you know, explanations of math and science and stuff just stop, and it becomes just straight up people chopping each other's arms off and slime pouring off the ceiling into someone's face. And that's the movie, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 7.5.
That's fair.
But absolutely go see it. One of his best.
All right. Yeah. Well, this is not Slasher Radio approved.
It's
what?
It's not. It's got to hit a 7.5. It didn't hit no 7.5. 6.6. Wait,
6.6. What does it need? What would I need to give it to get it hit a 7.5?
Let's see. If you gave this a 10, it'd be a 7.4.
Fuck. All right. 10.5.
Oh, no. Once you say it, well, no, that's not true. I've changed more noise. Damn.
Mikey likes to tank good movies.
I don't tank anything. You tanked Hellraiser last week.
I didn't tank Hellraiser. Hellraiser was still approved.
Well, what would you give Hellraiser off the top of your head?
Oh, Hellraiser? Top of your head. 7.
Damn, we lowered him, Rob.
What did I give? I gave it like a 7.2 or something, didn't I?
That's what you gave it.
Yeah. So that's not tanking the movie. It still was approved, I'm sure.
Not because of you.
Hellraiser lacked a lot of atmosphere and like, I mean, do you want me to go down? I'm not going to go down this road. You can ask me about Hellraiser another time.
Yeah, I don't want to do that when Kat's not here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see Kat and Will fight.
I'm not going to fight with Kat.
Kat will fight somebody for Hellraiser. She shot somebody in a parking lot once. over what was that movie, Rob?
the black phone.
Yeah, shot somebody in the parking lot over the black phone.
I like the black phone.
I love the black phone. I gave Hellraiser a 9.5. Cat gave it a 9.2.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, yeah. Rob gave it a 7.2. Do you want to hear the port noise for the Kiss movie?
No. No, I don't. Okay. I don't. Please, God.
Yeah, movie.
You should check that out. Well, you can find it on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I'll do that.
Yeah.
That's literally where we had to watch it.
It's the only place I could find it.
God damn, what a worst movie. Probably the worst movie. The worst movie. Fuck it. It's the worst movie I've ever seen, ever.
It's not that bad.
It's that bad.
You should go look for Nightmare City.
I haven't seen that. No, no, no. Yeah.
That's the one with the puppet robots that I was telling you about at the beginning.
Holy shit. Sounds bad. Have you seen Sharks of the Corn, Will?
No, I told you I don't generally watch shark movies.
That's bad.
That's a good one. I enjoyed that one.
That was a movie. That was the worst movie I ever seen before Kiss. So Rob is responsible for two out of two worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
And you're welcome.
Son of a bitch. All right. Well, that was an awesome movie, man. You know what? I'm glad I watched it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you watched it too.
I am.
Yeah, and I'm glad you picked it because I've been trying to get on this damn show forever, and Mikey's always never wants to do it.
It's just too bad that Kat wasn't here to discuss it as well.
It is.
Yeah. Well, you know, the good news is she's only got 4 more weeks of vacation this year, so
she would have given it a higher number.
What do you think Kat would have given this, Rob?
I do feel like she would have given it a decent number. I bet she would have given it probably around a 7.
Around a 7.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, I don't know. She's weird with Carpenter stuff. I don't know. Yeah, we'll ask her next week. That we should make her like just give her a portrait like we did with Jack Frost.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The Michael Keaton movie.
No, no. Kat is infamous for having, she gave that movie a 10 out of 10. She didn't give it, but we had her give it a 10 out of 10.
Oh, God.
She was gone for that one, too, Rob.
Yep, she sure was.
Another episode she was out. But yeah, guys, go check us out at Slash Radio on Twitter, SlashRadio.com. You can check out all of our articles, episodes, interviews, all that stuff. I'm at Mikey's Dad. Rob, where do they find you? Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. We can't hear Rob.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. I feel like I should write a letter to your internet provider.
I know. They suck.
Write them a letter. What company is it?
It's AT&T.
Oh, yeah. That's your fault.
They're terrible.
Fucking AT&T, man. They don't even have good cell phone service. Why would you trust their internet?
Yeah.
Where do they find you, Rob?
On Twitter at Radio Rob 123, and you can listen to my other show, This Horror, wherever you are listening to Slasher Radio.
This Our Life, where you were talking bad about me for the most part, kind of sore. You were subbing me. You were subliminally insulting me, Rob.
Yeah.
Oh, did you ask him about the, Will, I have this thing where I want to be the mascot for This Horror Life. And Rob said he needs to ask like a secret panel of judges. And I keep asking him if he keeps forgetting to ask him. So, Rob, did you talk to the...
I talked to him, and I have to submit a formal proposal.
So what are we going to do for that?
I don't know yet. I'm waiting on the details.
I feel like this is a way you just getting me to stop asking.
No. Seriously, it's a whole process, apparently. Okay. I didn't even know about this myself.
You have to get anything notarized?
Maybe. I don't know. Whole secret panel of judges. They're going to send me the details.
All right. Well, I'll start working on designs for the mascot. Well, thank you very much, my friend, for joining us. It's a blast as always.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I just want to make one correction. It was not Nightmare City. It was Exterminator City. So,
ooh, that somehow sounds better. Yeah, like it sounds right, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if I'd sat through a whole movie called Nightmare City and not seen one hand puppet, I would have been mad.
No, that is it's Exterminator City. I went and looked it up real quick. Panic. Thank you for having me on, guys.
You said
no, thanks for doing it, Will.
Yeah. Anytime. I love chatting with you guys. I love talking about horror. I don't get to do it at home because I'm the only one that watches it.
I feel that, man. But now we have to do Mouth to Madness. Like, it's come up too much for us. And Roz is wanting to see it. I have to rewatch it to work out my trilogy ranking for real. So, and plus, we need to finally have an episode with all of us on.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Will's like the angel of death. So,
yeah, maybe next time Mikey won't be here.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, you're going to go to the hospital next time, Mikey.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I curse you.
Call my job tomorrow and be like, hey, I just got to make sure all my medical shit's in order.
I curse you, Mikey. Thinner.
Will, you also have your Don't Look Away, right? That's on Amazon?
Yes, I do. Yep, you can find it on Amazon. I don't have the full title memorized anymore, but it is Don't Look Away, or you can just search for William Dalphin, Dalphin.
35 Terrifying Tales from the Darkest Corners.
There you go. That's the rest of it.
Yes, that's on Amazon. You did say last time you were on, Will, that you were wanting to do something. Is there any news on that, or you're still, whatever happened?
I'm still working on converting the series that I'm currently writing into a book. That has not happened yet, but yeah, nice. I'm still writing it though. It's called Lily Madwhip. It's about a child that can see the future, and I share it on Reddit regularly, about once a month. Trying to be more regular though.
Nice. Yeah, and
okay.
No, I was going to say, I seen something about Lily Madwhip on Fuck. I forget. Oh, I don't remember where it was. No, it wasn't on Fuck. I forget what the hell it was, but I did see it. I was like, oh, shit. And I meant to send it to you, and then I just got sidetracked. I have an attention span very short, though.
That's no worries.
Problem.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you find it again, let me know.
Yeah, I got to look for it. But where were you? So you're still working on that? Good. So next time, hopefully, when you're on, we'll have a little more news, maybe.
Yeah. Sounds good. I've been doing illustrations using AI for it.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that?
But I can tell you about that next time.
Okay. That sounds good. Yeah.
that way you have to have me back.
Look, if I can interact with Rob just a little bit less, I'm good. That's perfect.
Talk to me the highlight of your week.
And I will say it is nice to get to actually talk to you one on one, Rob.
Right? See? Will's a good
and
guy.
And Mikey.
Thank you.
No.
See,
yeah. No, that's a lie.
Rob misses me. Well, he acts like he doesn't, but he misses me. But all right, guys. So come check us out next week. We will be back with Kat, hopefully. Out next week, I think it's Patreon pick, Rob.
Oh,
it sure is. Oh, shit. Patreon
picking the Mouth of Madness.
Yes. Go to patreon.com/radio. And if you want anything to do with the movie we watched this week, baby, it'll be Mouth of Madness. Who knows? No, Will, it's not. It's going to be fucking... I'm getting tweets about, what the hell is that stupid-ass shark movie?
Raiders of the Lost Shark is the last one when somebody tweeted this.
And what's the other one? Shark Side of the Moon.
I think you guys are just getting trolled here.
Oh, absolutely.
You should do... when is that Idris Elba movie, Beast, coming out? You should do that one.
I think it's out.
Oh, then you should do that one. Do that one. There's a wild animal movie for you.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
He said a wild animal movie. God damn it. All right, guys. Come back, check us out next week. Good night from Slasher Radio. That is fucking hysterical. Wild animal movie.
All the best of Slasher Radio podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.